שלום, נושא השיעור שלנו היום הוא גדלות הבורא. אתם מוזמנים.
Hello, the subject of our lesson today is the greatness of the Creator. You can ask questions live on CAB TV. Select the questions will be asked during the lesson. And again, our topic today is the greatness of the Creator.
Our work is to achieve equivalence of form, adhesion, and nearing, coming closer to the love of the Creator. It's all the same thing. They're synonyms. And in the attainment of that goal, we need to depart from the intention to receive and to acquire the intention to bestow. That is equivalence of form. To come from actions of reception to actions of bestowal, or in other words, to respect the power of the Creator more instead of the power of the created being, which is the will to receive, the evil inclination, that we will determine that it is the evil inclination, and that the will to bestow, the nature of the Creator, is the good nature. And therefore, the greatness of the Creator is opposite to the lowliness of the created being. These two forms of work we can perform, but the Kabbalists advise us not to engage in the evil, not even in the lowliness of the evil. It's not worthwhile. Sometimes we use it to show how lowly the will to receive is, how despicable it is. But really, we're drawn more in our work towards the recognition of the greatness of the Creator. And in the work itself, of course, the advantage of light is out of darkness. We're entering the darkness, but we're entering it because we're being put inside it. We're being lowered. We're given impressions of the will to receive, usually negative ones. And on top of that, will to receive, the negative will to receive, which we go through as very difficult and harsh times and occasions, fear, unpleasantness, dread, lowliness, all these things, and after that, we come to the opposite, to times of respecting the will to bestow, closeness to the Creator, connection between us, the greatness of the Creator. So our work is not in the evil in any of its forms, but rather in the good in all of its forms. And therefore, this topic, the greatness of the Creator, that is, in essence, the whole of our work, in quality and quantity. And the different opposite work, the lowliness, the evil, we do not engage in it. If we're given that from above, by enlarging the will to receive, meaning these broken parts are made more prominent, those that need to be brought back to correction gradually, then we enter that feeling of the created being, its lowliness, its desires and properties, and so on. But this is because we fall. We engage in the greatness of the Creator, the importance of the Creator, and constantly look for something to add in that specifically. We search like the old man who searches as if he lost something. So what was lost? It can't be that he's looking for the broken vessels that went missing. No, he's looking for where can I add more to the greatness of the Creator. even though it's clear to us that in order to advance, he needs to receive the broken vessels for them to be under his authority, because the advantage of light is out of darkness. It can't he can't ascend to the next degree if he does not receive a decline, a descent, broken vessels which will be revealed to him. But regardless, we seek greatness and importance. We look for the goal, not the means. The means will be discovered. I don't care how and what it is exactly. I want to be adhered, and even for a little moment, a short moment, I don't want to be connected to the broken vessels, to the will to receive in any of its forms. To be chafetz chesed, seeking grace, at the very least. Therefore, this subject of the greatness of the Creator is the main thing we study, and in that we need to be and live all the time. It's best if it's unceasingly so, because in your light we shall see light. Everything that is revealed, the broken vessels, the lowly states, they'll be discovered, revealed by the light of the Creator. That's it. And the way of Hachishena, hastening it, as we say, and not as, or by disconnection from him, or Beito in its time, as we call it. Let's read and see.
Excerpt number 1, Rabash, article 223, Entry into the Work. The entry into the work must be in Lolishma, meaning that by believing in the Creator, he will have a life of pleasure. This means that if he does this action called faith, it will give him elation and superior mental forces, that when he does not perform this action, give him elation and superior mental forces than when he does not perform this action, it follows that this is a zgula, by which he can taste greater flavors in quantity and quality than what he tastes while he is doing other things in order to receive pleasure. This means that there are many ways to obtain pleasure, such as eating, drinking, and sleeping, or impressive clothes, or by doing things that make people respect him. Such actions are means by which he obtains pleasure. Yet the pleasures that these actions yield for him are limited in quality and quality in quantity and quality. Conversely, the zgula of faith brings him greater pleasure in quantity and quality. All this is called lolishma, because his intention is only to obtain a greater pleasure. Only after he achieves this degree called lolishma, he is rewarded with other phenomena. When he comes to a higher state, that is, at that time he has no consideration of himself, and all his calculations and thoughts are the truth. In other words, his aim is only to annul himself before the true reality, where he feels that he must only serve the king because he feels the exaltedness and greatness and importance of the king. At that time, he forgets, meaning he has no need to worry about himself, as his own self is annulled as a candle before a torch, before the existence of the Creator that he feels. Then he is in a state of lishma, meaning contentment to the Creator, and his concerns and yearnings are only about how he can delight the Creator. While his own existence, meaning the will to receive, does not merit a name whatsoever, then he is regarded as bestowing in order to bestow.
Let's read it again, and then afterwards we'll try to build the ladder of states. One goes through, one climbs until he reaches in order to bestow. Please.
the entry into the work must be in Lolishma, meaning that by believing in the Creator, he will have a life of pleasure. This means that if he does this action called faith, it'll give him elation and superior mental forces than when he does not perform this action.
Meaning his aim is to feel good. Right? If for that you need to be in bestowal, I'm ready to be in bestowal. It's fine. Just tell me what to do. The main thing is to feel good. The next world, even better. Whatever you say. I'm willing. The reward is the main thing for me.
It follows that this is a zgula, by which you can taste greater flavors in quantity and quality than what he tastes while he's doing other things in order to receive pleasure.
Well, in this world, we also engage in receiving pleasures constantly. What's more, what's less, and so we sort things out, and that's how we act. It's always scrutinies, what's more worthwhile every moment, subconsciously and consciously. So if I decide that spirituality is worthwhile more than corporeality, there is a greater pleasure, even whole and eternal pleasure, it's promised to me. So I go for it. This is the first stage. First step away from the corporeal pleasures.
This means that there are many ways to obtain pleasure, such as eating, drinking, and sleeping, or impressive clothes, or by doing things that make people respect them. Such actions are means by which he obtains pleasure. Yet the pleasures that these actions yield for him are limited.
These corporeal ones.
In quantity and quality. Conversely, the zgula of faith brings him greater pleasure in quantity and quality. All this is called lolishma.
Is it clear thus far? Great. No, I don't want to answer your questions. Just like that. I can't constantly be answering your questions. Not every day. Continue.
All this is called lolishma because his intention is only to obtain a greater pleasure.
You read it 20 times and try to understand it. If not, then pray. That's it. Please continue.
Only after he achieves this degree called lolishma, he is rewarded with other phenomena when he comes to a higher state. That is, at that time he has no consideration of himself.
The next degree begins to come about, meaning not reward for myself, but a calculation which is above oneself.
And all his calculations and thoughts are the truth. In other words, his aim is only to annul himself before the true reality, where he feels that he must only serve the king, because he feels the exaltedness and greatness and importance of the king.
And here we have this subtle question. Am I coming in order to feel the exaltedness of the king to that degree? Or do I must feel the exaltedness of the king in order to subjugate my will to receive and be in order to bestow to him? Because my matter, the will to receive, requires that I work above it for the sake of the king, meaning that the king will be more important to me than my will to receive, my donkey, as we say. So I need to use the king in order to subjugate myself and think about the king, or do I need to think about the king? Because the pleasure from the king is greater than all other pleasures. Right? Is that clear? Please continue.
At that time, he forgets, meaning he has no need to worry about himself. As his own self is annulled as a candle before a torch, before the existence of the Creator that he feels, then he is in a state of lishma, meaning contentment to the Creator, and his concern and yearnings are only about how he can delight the Creator, while his own existence, meaning the will to receive, does not merit a name whatsoever. Then he is regarded as bestowing in order to bestow.
Meaning, all of the thoughts are disconnected from the self and directed at the Creator, and he, with all his desires and abilities and everything, is just a means to bestow contentment. Alright? So how do we pass from this situation to that situation? Please. Help each other in the group so that it's clear to everyone what is state A, state B, how do we move from the first to the second, from lolishma or from beastliness to lolishma, not for her sake, and then to lishma, for her sake. Please, go on. Each one helps his friend. All together. So, simply put, like in the article, he says that if one performs this act called belief or faith, this brings him supernatural powers. So, yes, that act of faith brings him to a state called lolishma, not for her sake. Then from lolishma, he begins to feel the next degree. And then he needs to increase the greatness of the Creator, and only by that he is awarded with not caring for himself anymore, and then he comes to bestowing in order to bestow. Yes, because of the engagement in lolishma, meaning taking pleasure because of the connection with the Creator, even though it's egoistic, it begins to see the greatness of the Creator and the lowliness of himself. And then he wants to become like the Creator, meaning not to work for his own sake. So that's the situation. Engaging in this study is supposed to bring us greatness, and from that greatness, the desire to change. I agree with the friends that you have these three degrees, working, operating like a beast, and maybe even four. Lolishma, faith, the greatness of the Creator in order to feel good and then bestow. But what I want to add to the friends is that the language he uses here, food, respect, and all these things are like sgulot, special powers in order to achieve pleasure. It's interesting. Yes, the will to receive is the will to receive throughout the journey, through to adhesion, and one passes through many stations on the way. And it seems the more we accelerate the progress, the more we help this process come along. But it's still the same process. We come to lolishma, and then a new desire awakens, even more special, more unique. We need to implement the avud between us throughout this path, so as not to fall to beito.
Yeah, and there are many different discernments on the way. And the question Rav would ask was, am I doing it in order to feel the greatness of the king, or only when I feel his greatness do I then yield or subjugate myself and so on? And it's somewhere in between the place where everything is to benefit myself and where the greatness of the king is so great that
love. How? In order not to fall to in order to receive, when I'm already in order to bestow, do I expand the vessels of bestowal? By what gula, what special power, can I advance in a way where I constantly expand the vessels of bestowal, and so to advance without falling, constantly in search for where else can I find these vessels to join to bestowal, to add to bestowal, or I fall, which is in its time, Beito. So from where do I take them? Usually we say that kelim, vessels, the upper light reveals the shattering to us, and then we, with these broken kelim, as we correct them with the sweat of your nose, you shall eat bread, and that's how we advance, sweat of your brow rather. How do I myself discover these broken vessels and advance? In the left and in the right, both, I don't wait for anything to happen from above. From where does that old man find what he lost? Please.
And the ten is the potential, the amplifier of my small desire for spirituality, my annulment toward the ten. It's like the fast lane to spirituality.
I would also add concern for the friends and investment in the friends, to see that they're in the lesson, that they're fine, all right, regardless of where they are. In that, by that to expand the vessels, by investment and concern for the friends, to feel that they're part of your soul every moment.
Yeah. There's the connection with the environment, the attempt to even reach love in the ten and that group. That already brings a person out of that equation, because the pleasure of the group is a bit less felt an individual, but he feels that the group, it has a role, the role of which is to serve the entire system, and he understands that he's a part of it, and he doesn't even need reasons to justify himself, why this or why that.
Yes, from the attempts to annul towards the friends, we expand the vessels.
I agree that the game toward the friends, this is what builds in a person further kelim. But I'd also add to that gratitude. The gratitude is a kli that if a person uses, it's also something that he feels, and he can increase that connection.
There needs to be such an atmosphere in the group where we encourage each other to utilize every opportunity to bestow, whether it is for the friends in the ten or to go out disseminating or anything. Working towards someone else, towards the outside, and not for oneself, by that one walks towards the Creator in the path of bestowal instead of waiting for the circumstances to push me in that direction.
Yeah, yesterday on the women's lesson, Rav asked them, can you step on yourselves and lower your ego and make place to feel the friends and make place for the Creator to fill that place? It's a very tangible, practical example. It's something that you can always do. We just have to remind each other. A place where we can feel the friends and allow the Creator to fill that place. Not to want to understand, to win, to be right, but simply, it's a question that can always act. Moving on to the second passage, Rabash, Article 5. What it means that the land did not bear fruit before man was created in the work. What is the connection between the land that did not bear its fruit before man was created In the work, man is regarded as one who has emerged from the control of the quality of a beast. A beast means one who is immersed in self-benefit like a beast, and man means one in whom there is fear of heaven and works because of fear, which the Zohar calls because he is great and ruling, where he works only because of the greatness of the Creator and does not care for his own benefit but for the benefit of the Creator. It is, as our sages said about the verse, in the end of the matter, fear God and observe his commandments, for this is the whole of man. What is, for this is the whole of man? Rabbi Elazar said, the whole world was created only for this. It follows that man is regarded as one in whom there is the fear of heaven. And what is the fear of heaven? That is, what is fear? It is, as he says, both the first fear and the second fear are not for his own benefit, but only for the fear that he will decline and bring contentment to his Maker. And we know that man is one who has the fear of heavens, that he is afraid maybe he will not have the ability to do everything in order to bestow. And this is called man. And beast means the very opposite, that he is concerned only with himself, as it says. Who knows? The spirit of people is above, and the spirit of the declining beast is down on the earth. And we have to explain that the spirit of man, it ascends and soars, namely that everything that he does, it is all for the benefit of the Creator. And this is called above, namely that his intention is for everything to be only in order to bestow. And from this man has contentment.
How do we examine if our intention is upwards or downwards? How do we examine if our intention is aimed upwards or downwards? Am I now regarding the Creator or myself? His benefit or my benefit? How do I, in practice, examine and sort these things out? Please.
This is exactly the thing that a person asked himself, am I doing it for myself or for others? And to start out with that question, maybe this is the beginning of the scrutiny.
Perhaps this is in the direction of the ten, meaning...
Sorry.
If I'm looking at and calculating with the interest of the ten in mind, or concern for myself,
all the work and intention is choosing between these two directions. Before you exert, before you make an effort, what intention are you turning to it with? And it's 180 degrees, for me or for him. And to reach the correct mutual intention, this is also something that we can probably do only together.
Ultimately, a person can't do anything if it's not for his own benefit. Anything else is just an illusion. But he can practice performing all sorts of actions, all sorts of scrutinies, which are supposedly for the sake of the ten, and from that some request is born in him, but the light makes this inversion.
This inclination toward the ten is what allows a person to scrutinize, is there anything else in reality besides itself? Because if he doesn't even have the desire, then a person is immersed inside himself totally.
Yes, the ten serves as everything here, the gauge with which to measure the place to work. It's something tangible which a person can use to examine. Everything that we do on our path Well, they're all these actions, precisely. We just need to join this, we need to add this scrutiny to every action. Is my intention now to ascend, to be Adam, and human, or am I just on the degree of behemoth, beast here, where everyone just enjoys everything for his own sake?
And the examination is whether I agree that our mutual cash box is in the center of the ten, and this is where we collect all of our earnings. It's a process where all our earnings become one. And as it says here, one or another way, is it for myself or for the ten? Where is the work and where is the reward?
And
the best test is always to see how I relate to the friends. How do I relate to the ten? Because it's very close. And here I can't delude myself to think that perhaps I am doing something for the Creator with my intentions. Here, in practice, I can see according to how I relate to the friends, my disposition towards them.
Rob, how do I direct myself at the Creator through the ten, and I'm sure that this is what I'm doing? Again, how do I direct myself at the Creator through the ten, being certain that what I'm doing is correct? It's obvious that the ten exists in order to aim ourselves at the Creator. That in general, the ten is the breaking, the shattering of the vessels in order for us to know how to aim our intention at the Creator. Otherwise, we would have no ability to build or direct ourselves through some kind of instrument at the Creator. So that's the ten. How do I examine that I, the ten, and the Creator are on the same line? As it says, Israel, Oaita, and Kucha Brichu are one.
Two things. One is that I exert myself to fulfill the deficiencies I receive from the ten, from the friends. And I don't do that alone. I ask the reforming light to do that.
I was thinking about the matter of the greatness of the friends. I mean, if you don't have the strength for spirituality and you have friends around you, you can get the importance from them because they're great from you. Gilad and Shovitz, I remember when I came to Bnei Baruch and I said, wow. It says about a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and if everyone agrees, I'm also going for it without understanding what it means. From the greatness of the friends, you can get the greatness of the quality of bestowal.
I do everything in my ability so that the friends will have greatness and importance. That's the way in which I express my connection with the Creator. I pray for them. I see them as my soul. I pray for them. I want to discover the truth, which is already there.
First of all, there has to be a minimum degree of arvut in order for a person to be able to perform this scrutiny. If there is some kind of force that can allow a person to rise a bit above himself, then a person is capable or able scrutinizing what is the outcome of my action or thought now? What fills my reality? Is it the friends? Is it a prayer for them? Is it something outside of me? Or is it them?
It's an instrument which is on the boundary. It's half in the spiritual world, half in the corporeal world. I can be in touch with this kli, but it also directs me towards the spiritual side, my attainment. And this, every person who wants to attain spirituality requires. The Kabbalists also say that they've attained it by utilizing the ten, coming outside of themselves towards something else, towards connection.
Okay, because of that, we should remind each other that the ten is a spiritual kli, and it's unrelated to anything that I'm familiar with, think about, understand, feel in my natural kli. Excerpt number 3, Shamati 30, Bala Sulam. The most important is to not want anything except to bestow because of his greatness.
What does it mean to want to bestow only because of his greatness? Let's examine this action specifically. What do I need to do with myself in order to perform it that way? To want to bestow only because of his greatness.
Maybe it means that a person should do anything that he can in order to serve others, work for others, in the group, about whatever is outside of him, because at first he can't envision what the Creator is. Sure, it's in order to receive, but he does it like that cartoon that, you know, runs over the abyss. And at a certain point, he'll be able to reach it, but he has to act as if he doesn't exist and work full steam ahead. It's like I'm doing as if doing it for myself, but I'm actually thinking about others.
A person sees that the intention is what's most important. Why is performing the action? Not what the action is, but what he wants to extract from the action is that crucial scrutiny about what you want, why you want to bestow, that the Creator is the greatest, the most important, why? So that scrutiny has to be attached to every movement we make.
Maybe the need, our need to connect as a ten. That's the action, and this is the greatest thing that we can do. This is actually what the Creator wants for us to do. Only the need that we really want it, that we want to perform an action which is in order to bestow, and we don't know what it is in our intellect, and it's good. But this is what helps us perform a mutual action is a ten in favor of bestowal.
It means that there is such an atmosphere in the society. It's something in the air, some energy. There is a great, important goal, and it evokes enough motivation in the person that he can work with it and not using all sorts of personal calculations. You could say he's swept by the wind of the society, the spirit of the greatness of the Creator and the importance of the friends and so on.
Rav, when in general do I use society to the benefit of the Creator, and when do I use the Creator to the benefit of society? When do I use society for the sake of the Creator, and when do I use the Creator for the sake of society? And what actions do I use the Creator for the sake of society, and in what actions do I use the society for the sake of the Creator?
I can use the society for the sake of the Creator in order to show him how much I want to bestow, how much I want to come out of myself in action to perform acts of bestowal. And the Creator, for the sake of the society, that The next friend will tell.
I don't know, it looks like building the kli and filling the kli.
In prayer for the friends, I use the Creator for the friends. And in the attempt to annul myself towards the friends, I use the friends for the sake of the Creator.
Using society in order to be able to ask the Creator to give me the ability to ask for them, and this is exactly where I use the Creator to do something for society. It's like a circle, it's cause and effect.
This thing about asking for the friends, it's like a training ground which enables me to change myself. I perform an action so in which the reward isn't brought to me, but rather to them. That's how one acquires that vessel of bestowal, thinking about bestowal rather than about reception.
Okay, somehow it's my turn again. What actions do I do for the sake of the... What actions do I use? Well, the question again.
I work in two lines in parallel. Because Israel Oraita Kudsha Brichu Chadu, they're all one. It has to be aligned so as to create the correct line of the work. So I need to hold on to both the Creator, the group, everything as representatives of the spiritual path.
Maybe it's like breathing, that all of us together have to ask the Creator. Excerpt number 3. I read only the first paragraph. Okay. Excerpt number 4. What is the bread of an evil-eyed man in the work? Excerpt 4. All our work in Torah and Mitzvot is in order to emerge from the exile of the world to receive for ourselves. In other words, we must aim, while engaging in Torah and Mitzvot, that our reward will be that by this we will be rewarded with emerging from the exile and enslavement in the world to receive for ourselves, and we will be able to work only in order to bring contentment to the Creator, and we will not demand any other reward for our work in Torah and Mitzvot. In other words, we want to be rewarded with feeling while engaging in Torah and Mitzvot that we are serving a great and important King, and that by this there will be love of the Creator within us, from feeling His exaltedness. However, all of our pleasure will come from serving the Creator. This will be our reward, and not that He will somehow reward us for the work. Instead, he will feel that the work itself is the reward, and there is no greater reward in the world than the privilege of serving the Creator.
How can we depict the lack in which I want to bestow to him, I want to give to him, as if I want to eat or something hurt, pains me and I want to calm the pain? How can I in such a way depict the lack for bestowal to the Creator?
It's like the very same way you can envision
to bestow to the Creator, to depict the lack for that. It's to perform an action through the lack of the friends, to ask for
Rab. Once Rabash told me, he said, It's winter. Jerusalem. It's cold at home. No heating. It's dark. No money to buy oil in order to light up a lamp. You go to sleep. What can you do? We're going to sleep. Comes up his 5-year-old daughter and says, "Dad, I want to eat something." And there's nothing at home. Really nothing. I remember that someplace there is this small onion. That's it. So I tell her, go to sleep. Imagine the feeling a father has when his little daughter comes up and this is what she asks. What a desire she awakens in him. How can we reach such a desire toward the Creator? Go ahead. It's called the Shechina Gdusha, the sorrow of the Shechina. In short, the picture is clear.
From that story, if we take that as an example, a great sorrow, it awakens great sorrow. From the desire to do good to the child, to the created being. I don't know, I felt sorrow.
To imagine that picture, it's like your child is in the emergency room or in the army, that there's a certain situation that you have to act 200% in order to deal with whatever that is, and sometimes there's this force in society. Now I'm thinking about it a bit more in dissemination, that sometimes there's such a need to give birth to something that you completely, it completely... delivers a person out of himself, the connection with others.
I want to continue Gershon regarding that sorrow and also great anger aimed at the Creator. That's what needs to be between us. As if my daughter comes to me and tells me, "Daddy, I'm hungry," and I turn to the Creator with this great cry, great shout, that he's not okay and she deserves to eat. And in the same way, I need to relate to you. When I feel your desire to spirituality, for spirituality, and your desire to bestow, and I'll be angry at the Creator because he's not allowing you to perform acts of bestowal.
So in the story, the little daughter is the desire of the ten for spirituality, and man is the father here, or how? Yeah, that's the man's me, but according to this depiction, then
what we learn, what we engage in, this picture comes up of, on one hand, how we need to behave and operate, and on the other, the reality is revealed in which we act, our nature, our ego, our little calculations. It's a huge divide, and perhaps from that huge divide, a prayer is born for change, so that something irrational will happen, so that I'll change to the way I know I need to be.
This
story awakens this feeling of very strong need and a sense of helplessness, and that gives birth to prayer.
Yes, it's unclear how else you can add to the greatness of the Creator in the tent. What else can you do? What other lack can you bring in? What other desire, what kind of integration can we perform so that the greatness of the Creator is greater in the ten? It's unclear. There's nothing. There's that food. You don't have it at home. We need to ask for there to be some addition to the greatness of the Creator, and there isn't any, but we want it.
It's
there in order to confuse us so that we won't forget that eventually the solution comes from above. And not so that we'll sit all smart finding a solution. It has to come from the Creator. We just have to ask.
Love. How could we transcend this desire, which we just discussed, which the little daughter elicits in the father? How can he rise above that pain and everything in order to bless the Creator? How, from each and every state, or from this particular state, to rise and bless the Creator?
Because thanks to this, I turned to the Creator. Thanks to this, I came back to none else besides Him. I have the ability to be grateful that He creates different states around me so that the connection will not cease.
Yes, it depends on how much of the greatness of the Creator this father has. If he has it, then he can take everything that happens to him in his reality and to see how from that he can bestow more to the society, to ask more of the Creator. And if there's no greatness of the Creator, then he's just sorry about the daughter.
Maybe it's a kind of an inner game because the daughter needs him to give the confidence, and this same in the tent that a person, he doesn't have anything to give. He has no food to give, but he has to give the friends the greatness of the Creator.
Yes, the worst state is indifference, indifference towards the greatness of the Creator. So at least this state will bring one to a request, a demand, helplessness, a desire for the solution to come from a place that one can't see, somewhere in the center of the tent. From there, the solution to every question can come. And this demand, this knowledge, for that we need to thank.
Maybe this is also somehow related to the previous questions, where is it the greatness of the Creator that motivates me, or what I receive motivates me to the Creator? We see that regardless of what I receive, I'm supposed to reach the greatness of the Creator.
It's not only without connection, it's just my ability to turn to the Creator out of every situation is only if I have the greatness of the Creator as foundation. So from now on, how do we relate to life? How do we relate to everything that we go through? It's only if we give each other the greatness of the Creator, we'll help each one, we'll give each one this this rescue wheel, so that each one can tie himself to the Creator.
Because if a person relies only on himself, then from the 10 times that it does happen, maybe once, he'll succeed in connecting it to the greatness and so on. Itai even doubts that. But if a person ties himself to the 10, and he's nourished by the importance of the group, he sees each such thing as an opportunity to turn to the Creator. And this is already,
there's a mechanism here which comes to change a beast, turn it into a human. Because a person is used to asking for himself, and then,
Rav, by what device, only just don't tell me the 10, by what device do I tie the pain I have because of what happened with my daughter? Because I don't have the ability to give her a piece of bread, and the ability to bless the Creator from the bottom of my heart. How am I included or become included of these two discernments, and how the one sustains the other? Not annulling, completing, mitigating, but both of them existing at the same time in my heart. How do these two states connect then and support one another?
There's love in this story. I have a natural love to the daughter, and so her pain and lack is felt by me. There are millions of hungry people in the world, and this doesn't motivate me to act. But by the natural love which I received from above, and my desire to fulfill her, by that, well, I'm obligated to be the one who wants to bestow to others and not to himself.
The idea that everything that happens is a result of our connection, the connection with the parts of our soul, and how much love is there between us. And there is the ability to tie everything that happens in order to develop that love. It's all a matter of the importance of the goal eventually. If what that father sees is eventually that upper goal, then he can use everything that goes on in life in order to create different discernments toward that goal.
Prayer is created, which ties these two ends together. Because prayer is exactly about what I see I can't perform, I can't achieve. Prayer is crucial. It's what ties us to the next degree.
Or this device is called the masach. And it's koshiyut, it's that thanks to that, the Creator becomes revealed.
You can call this instrument masach, confidence, the greatness of the Creator, but it's certain that it all comes about when one integrates with something greater than himself. Like coming to the morning lesson and listening to Rav, or going into the books, or into the ten. He must dissolve himself, immerse himself in something greater, so that along with this inner pain, he can have gratefulness, be thankful for this new air.
Only if really there is a very strong impression from the quality of bestowal or from the Creator. Moving on to the next part.